done fell right down that rabbit hole. So reality is questionable. Try, but you just can't let it go. These two right here put on a show. It's paranormal overload with Southern hospitality. Haunted murder mayhem tip while discussing immortality. Locations with a dark past, history that comes to life. Hillbillies with a knack for everything that goes bump at night. Overthinking if you're by yourself, these two will have you turning on the lights. Mixing in a little comedy to make sure it all fits in just right. Hey.
Welcome to Hillbilly Horror Stories. Now here's your hosts, Jerry and Tracy Paul, and their dog Ninja.
Sometimes their cat, Freddy, but never the ferrets.
What's good, what's good, what's good? This your boy Marcus Harvey from Ghost Brothers.
What's happening, man? It's your boy Daylon Spratt from Ghost Brothers.
And this is Jawan Mass from the Ghost Brothers. We like to give a big shout out to the Hillbilly Horror Stories.
Hillbilly horror stories. Well, your stories is from a hillbilly, and it's kind of horror-y, cause it's hillbilly horror stories.
That was terrible, Daylon.
Yeah, but I tried.
Tune into the podcast. We up in here,
Ghost Brothers.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 379 of Hillbilly Horror Stories. I'm Jerry,
and I'm Tracy.
Tracy, as usual, we want to thank all of our military and civil servants all over the world. No matter which country you represent, thanks to all you men, women, and service animals for everything you do for us on a daily basis.
We're definitely thinking about you guys during the holidays coming up, and I know you want to be home with your families, but, you know, we appreciate everything you all do for us. Pray for you guys every day. Just hope some of you get to come home anyway. But we love you guys, and thank you for taking care of us.
Tracy, it's that time of year, and, you know, there's never a good time of year when you suffer from depression, but this time seems to bring it out, even in people who don't notice it most of the rest of the year. We just want people to know that it's okay to not be okay, and to call people if you need to talk, and don't be ashamed of that. That's nothing to be ashamed of. I've said it a thousand times. If you had, you know, a physical illness such as diabetes, you wouldn't have a problem going to the doctor about it. Or if you had, you know, cancer or some other disease, you wouldn't feel embarrassed about seeking out help for that. Don't feel the same way about a mental situation to where you feel like you need to be embarrassed. People suffer from mental illness every single day. It's more common than people even begin to realize, and it's definitely nothing to be ashamed of.
Definitely, you know, check in with your friends and just, you know, say hi, whatever, happy holidays. That's, you know, will make their day, I'm sure. But, you know, he's right. You guys don't be afraid to reach out. You can call my number. You can call Jerry's number any time of day or night. You can go into the group because they're awesome and they'll always be there for you. And you can call the crisis hotline at 988 and text 741-741. We love you guys, so reach out.
And I want to say this. She touched on something. You know, we all get busy in our lives. We all have a thousand things going on. But if you've got a friend that might be going through something and you know about it, give them a little extra attention. I know I've got a friend that's dealing with some stuff, and heck, I just sent a random text at 10:30 the other night, which I didn't know if he was asleep or awake. He works crazy hours. And just to say, hey, you know, hope everything's okay, that turned into a 45-minute phone call. Mm-hmm. You know, you just never know.
That's right. So you guys just remember that. And, you know, I'm sure it'll make their day, at least for that moment, to know that somebody is there for them.
Well, Tracy, we don't have a special guest again this week. It's all on us.
Oh, dang.
Pressure's on.
What?
Well, since we're going to be doing these stories live at CryptidCon, I felt that we might want to do, you know, I don't know, maybe some cryptid stories.
Okay.
That's kind of the, it's kind of the what theme. Their thing is, and they might appreciate that. So we've got a variety of stories tonight. Most are personal encounters with cryptids or skinwalkers, and there isn't much backstory to any of these. It's just flat out the story. It's going to be fun. I think people are really going to enjoy these at CryptidCon, and I think you guys are going to enjoy them.
Good.
All right. First story is from a young lady by the name of Cheyenne. Now, Cheyenne wanted to make it clear that she's always believed in cryptids and other types of creatures. Bigfoots, Wendigos, unless you're a supernatural fan, in which it would be a Wendigo. Completely wrong. Aliens, skinwalkers, you get the point. But that doesn't mean that she believes every story that's ever been told to her either.
All right.
She likes to keep an open mind. So Cheyenne explains that when it comes to something that she believes in, she wants to fully understand it. Makes sense. Possibly even have a connection.
Ooh.
So one night, Cheyenne was with her partner and another friend. They were hanging out at this very wooded, rocky area by the ocean. Now, she didn't mention exactly which coast she was on, but she wanted to kind of keep it semi-anonymous. They got there around 9:30 p.m. They were going to build this nice little fire right there by the water, kind of keep warm. You would have to walk through some woods to get to the place that they wanted to build the fire. So as they pull up to the area, Cheyenne remembered having a bad feeling for some reason. Not really sure, but something was off. Now, usually, she would trust this intuition, but this time, she was kind of convinced herself that, you know what, she was just overreacting.
Mm-hmm.
Once they got to the spot, Cheyenne got a really weird sensation almost immediately, but she blew that off as well. Even still, she kept her back to the water and faced the wood and the wooded area and the rocky area. She felt as if something was watching them. So she kept staring out into the darkness while the other two stared into the fire. Cheyenne decided to get up and walk away from the fire so her eyes could adjust to the darkness a little better. That's when she noticed a translucent white figure about 50 feet away. It was sitting on top of the rocks on the other side of the spot where they were. It was pretty high up. This figure was moving back and forth. She estimated it to be about 5 or 6 feet tall. It started to scale down the rocks, and she means really quickly, faster than any human could have scaled up and down that really hard to maneuver terrain. As it was doing this, it got smaller, and get this, it turned to the shape of an animal, which was either a wolf or a coyote.
Wow, major skills.
Cheyenne said out loud, "What is that animal?" Her partner looked over and immediately got freaked out because I guess he saw the same thing. The other person wasn't really concerned at all. He said that he saw it, but, you know, it's probably just a person. But he was drunk by this time. So.
Oh, so he, yeah. His mind wasn't clear.
Right. As it came towards them, Cheyenne began to feel absolute horror. She felt like it was coming to kill them. She tried to go higher up on the rocks to get away from it. Yeah, like that's going to work. This thing is already scaling back and forth.
Oh, no,
quicker
I,
than
well,
she,
I don't see the point in that.
Yeah, let me get up a little bit higher. That should fix the problem. Cheyenne said that this was the most scared that she had ever been in her entire life. She pulled out her phone and she shined her flashlight and in its direction to kind of see, you know, make sure she wasn't just, you know, tripping. She thinks that whatever this thing was, that the flashlight kind of chased it away. And it ended up running back in the woods and disappearing. So Cheyenne and her partner's legs were shaking violently. They were so scared.
I bet.
She suggested that they leave immediately, but their drunk friend wanted to stay and finish his drink. They said, no, we're going to get in the vehicle and we're going to leave now. So the friend said that he could actually prove that what they had seen was probably just another person. How you ask? Well, he tried to run down the rocks as fast as he could. A drunk guy.
Oh, my.
He's trying to show that a person, you know, could go that fast.
And after he fell and broke his neck and leg, then what happened?
Here's what they noticed, though. When he did do this, they could clearly hear him running around on all those rocks. That's the scary part about what they saw, because it suddenly dawned on them that when this thing was running around,
they couldn't hear
even
it.
Faster. Yeah, it was completely silent.
Ooh, a floater.
So they get back home. They decided to do a little research about the werewolves and skinwalkers in the area. The first few things that came up were just, you know, when they Googled this, was just a location where they were, and several articles on death that had happened, because death apparently had happened a whole bunch of times right where they had been.
Oh, my. Do you mean like people, you're saying people died?
Yeah, just in general, people died. Like, okay. You know, maybe fell off the rocks or what have you. Most of them were actually from waves, believe it or not, knocking the people off the rocks and drowning them.
No, I believe it.
That's not what freaked them out about the research, though. They came across a website of stock photos, just like if you want to use them for your website or something like that, just standard stock photos. But for some reason, the description included the name of the location where they had been. When Cheyenne clicked through to the website, she couldn't believe what she saw. It was an image of a creature that looked exactly like the one that they had seen that night. They still have no idea what it was or what to make of the situation, but she does know that she has nightmares about werewolves on a regular basis.
Oh, man, I bet. That's crazy that she actually found a picture of that.
Yeah, and it was like a stock photo. It wasn't like it was random. So, what do you think? What do you think it could have been that they saw? Do you think it could have been a werewolf? Do you think it could have been a skinwalker, or as some call them, shapeshifters? I mean, it started off as a person and ended up as an animal.
Yeah, I would say a shapeshifter for sure.
Not a werewolf, you don't think?
I don't know.
It was a person that turned into a wolf or coyote. Maybe it's a were-coyote. Hmm. Do they have those?
I think I have heard of that.
All right, next story. This is from Jake from State Farm. Well, it's from Jake. I don't know if it's from State Farm. This happened just last year, November of 2022. So within 11 months ago. Jake says that he's had several paranormal encounters over the years, seemingly once every 3 years, almost like a pattern. Jake was visiting a campground in, I don't know the correct pronunciation. I've seen this both ways. I think it's Garibaldi, Oregon, but it could be Garibaldi. But Garibaldi, Oregon. This was one of those get-to-know-each-other type of retreats with his choir class.
Okay.
Some people call them summits. Some people call them retreats, whatever the case is. So the camp had several trails, and it had two large two-story cabins where everybody would be sleeping at. There was also a mess hall with a basement. So the first night was pretty much uneventful. Overall, everybody had a great time. But when the sun went down, things changed dramatically. The atmosphere shifted, making everything eerie and very unsettling. Well, Jake didn't experience anything the first night, but he said it was still extremely creepy. Now, one of the things that really stood out to the group is that no one had seen a single animal the entire time that they had been there. Not even birds or squirrels. And you're in basically the woods.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's very weird.
The next day was pretty normal with the class going through all their scheduled activities. They ate dinner, and before long, everybody was back in their cabins. Well, Jake couldn't sleep, so he stepped outside on the second floor balcony. He felt just like he did the night before, kind of creeped out. The feeling of dread came straight back to him. But tonight, he also felt as if he was being watched. You see, it's a common theme when it comes to these creatures and stuff.
Well, they got to study them, you know.
Right. The night was deadly quiet, with only the sound of the waves crashing on the beach. That wasn't the only sound that Jake would hear that night. The sound would come from the woods that divided the two cabins. It caused his body to immediately go into fight or flight mode. A chill ran down his spine. What was the sound? It was the sound of Jake's own voice coming from the tree line. It said, "Come here, I want to show you something." Jake said it was definitely his own voice, but sounded a little bit off, almost like it had been recorded and played back, and the speed might not have been exactly right. He originally thought that, you know, maybe it was his imagination. So he rubbed his ears a little bit, hoping that he would not hear it again. But then he heard it again. Come here. I want to show you something. Jake had heard of skinwalkers in that particular area and how they could mimic your voice or the voices of your friends or family members. He ran into the cabin and he closed and locked the door. Then he closed the window, hoping not to hear anything anymore for the rest of the night. It took Jake about an hour to actually fall asleep, but he woke up around 4 a.m. He heard a loud footstep make contact with the very bottom step at the bottom of the stairs, which these stairs actually led to the balcony where he had been. So obviously it would have access right to the second floor, I think, where he was sleeping at. He ignored it and he started blasting music through his headphones. He hoped this would be it, but these events would actually reach a climax on the third and final night of the retreat. The next day, they finished the daily activities, such as they did the day before. They would eat dinner and then spend the last night together playing a game called Assassins. Now, nighttime falls and the game starts. Assassins, by the way, is basically just hide and seek in the woods.
Hell no. What? Oh my gosh.
Before they got too far into the game, a bunch of the players kind of gathered in one of the larger fields that was right there. Now, this field area had woods on three sides, and the rest of the camp was on the other side. Okay, so you're basically covered all the way around by something. They were all laying down under the stars when they heard a loud, shrill screech, whatever you want to call it. It sounded like it was coming from very far away. And Jake remembered hearing that, you know, skinwalker sounds that sound like they're coming from further are probably really close, and vice versa. If it's, it sounds like it's coming from close, it's probably really far away, so they're very deceiving. So they all formed a circle. They turned their flashlights on bright, looking for anything out of the ordinary. They didn't find anything. It was very tense for a minute, until the instructor and one of the other campers actually came toward the circle with their flashlights on, ready to play assassin. They were assigned to their roles, and they began playing and entering the woods.
I cannot believe Jake is going for this. I mean, seriously, can you?
I mean,
and be hide and seek under my bed.
Oh, yeah. Well, nothing happened during the game or for the rest of the trip. Jake only tells people about hearing his own voice because he said that telling them the rest of the stuff is the part of the series of events are kind of harder to describe about the game and stuff. So he just kind of leaves that part out. If you ask the people, he said, that were actually in the field who formed the circle, they'll actually deny it, saying that they were just, you know, wanted to stand like that. They just wanted to stand in the circle. It wasn't because they heard anything. He says some will even deny that the meeting in the cornfield or they're in the field took place at all. So I guess they just don't want to. Because, you know, he had all the other stuff happen. They only heard that part.
Yeah.
They only heard that shrill shriek.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard word to say a bunch of times. Shrill shriek.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, the guy sounding like me or whatever, that would be all it took.
Well, Jake's little tip to everyone listening is, he says to remember to be careful in the woods because there are definitely things out there that we cannot explain.
I believe it.
All right, Tracy, I have heard a lot of Bigfoot stories, but I have never heard one like this next one.
Oh, geez.
This almost, if I had to try to say what this sounds like, well, I'm not even going to say it yet. I'll say it afterwards because I don't want to give it away. Because it could. This story is from an ex-game warden from a state that he did not want to mention. He had worked there for 8 years before he got injured in a gunfight with a drunken poacher.
That's scary enough, especially when they're drunk.
Yeah, I don't get that. I mean, cook your eggs like everybody else. Nobody eats poached eggs.
You're dumb.
That's probably what the guy did. He came up and had his gun, and he was like, "Sir, what the hell are you doing in my woods poaching eggs? If you can't fry them or scramble them, move on." And it caused a big argument. All right, so this was the craziest thing that he had ever seen while on the job, not the poaching thing. Now, look, when you've been shot by a poacher and something else was the craziest thing you've ever seen, that says something.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, so one day dispatch got a call about a person shooting at some deer right outside of someone's house from the street. Not only that, they were shooting from inside their blue truck.
Good Lord.
So I guess you're just in the truck with the window rolled down.
I mean, if you just drive up the road, I'm sure you'll see a dead one on the street.
Probably so. So anyway, this truck had been parked on the shoulder of the road. All of this stuff was very illegal. So our game warden, who we will call Frank, headed over to the location and he met up with another game warden. The two started investigating the site. The shooting happened right on the shoulder next to a large house with a large lawn on the side of it. Now, that area then merged into a thick wooded area. So it made sense why the guy was at that point.
Yeah.
He was right on the outskirts of the woods. They quickly found a 30-06 shell casing in the dirt on the shoulder, and it was still warm, so that confirmed that, yes, someone had just recently been there shooting. Frank's partner started interviewing the eyewitness, the guy that actually made the call, and Frank started searching the area for a possible bullet impact or blood droppings from, you know, possible wounded animal. Frank made his way to the tree line where he actually lucked out and he found a fresh impact spot on a tree. He took some pictures with his phone, and as he was doing so, he noticed that there were some blood spots on the ground off to the side. He followed the trail into the woods. It led to a short ridge covered in trees. Now, beyond that was some type of a narrow gully that he said looked like something that would flood during heavy rains. So Frank stops on top of this ridge line. He's looking around. At this point, he had lost the blood trail. Now, as he was scanning the surroundings, he heard something moving through the forest. It was coming from the gully off to his right, but it was still out of sight. And because of all the trees and everything, he really had trouble even gauging exactly where it was coming from because he couldn't see much. He assumed that it was the wounded deer. Frank started to step forward to try to get whatever it was into his sight. But he began to smell something horrible. It was the faint smell of rotting meat. And he said some other smells that you would typically smell around a dead body.
Yeah.
Not just in the decomp of the flesh, but what they ate or what they drank.
Ooh.
That would be blended with it.
That's gross.
So he said the smell was getting stronger and so was the noise. It sounded like someone casually passing through thick bushes or dragging their feet along the ground. Whatever it was not trying to be sneaky.
Oh, he was trying to be, hey.
Frank was about to yell out, "Game warden," to see if it was a person. Mm-hmm. But then he caught sight of something in the narrow spaces of the tree trunk. So as they, you know, they would spread out enough where in between he could see it. It was a flash of something dark brown or dark brown and black. And for some reason, this made Frank freeze in his tracks. It was slowly making its way closer to Frank. The smell was overpowering at this point. Frank had to breathe more through his mouth at this point.
Ew, then it's going in his throat. That's gross.
Yeah, because that's what you want, to enjoy that taste as well.
Oh, God.
As the creature got closer, Frank got a better look. He saw flashes of hair, but it was complex, he said. The moments that he could see between the trees, it was too short to get very much detail. Well, eventually, it was just to the left of Frank. The trees were less dense, so he could actually make out more and more of what it was as it crossed between the trees. It was large, very large. He was guessing about 8 feet tall and very wide at the shoulders. It was covered from head to toe in dark brown hair. but there was more to its appearance. The face looked like a caveman if the caveman didn't shave. For the record, I don't believe that cavemen did shave.
Yeah, probably not.
I don't know that for a fact. They might have used sharp rocks, but I don't know what the point would have been.
Yeah, let that crap grow.
It had black leather skin. One eye was missing, and the other eye was foggy white.
Ooh, cataract.
The mouth was wide open, and it looked like it was missing some of its lower lip. The torso was patchy, with large deep gashes with gray muscle tissue inside. The worst part was that its abdomen was mostly missing, and what intestines remained were dangling over its right hip.
Dude!
The left thigh had a huge part missing on the outside, and its right foot was just completely gone. It literally was, I guess it literally was just Bigfoot.
It's missing not feet, but foot.
But the creature was stepping on its own ankle stump.
Oh!
Frank said that...
Dude, he needs a dang hug. That poor thing.
Frank said that he froze when he got the perfect look at this thing. He said he doesn't remember even breathing at that part because the beast just kind of meandered past him and he didn't want to give any kind of idea that he was around. He said eventually it just walked past him and went into the gully, and after a while it was out of sight and the smell started fading. So Frank quietly just trekked back in the other direction towards the game warden. Now, the other game warden was actually extracting the bullet out of the tree that Frank had found before he ventured off into the woods.
Oh, I thought he was taking it out of himself.
No, he could tell Frank saw something weird because of the look on his face. And he said, you saw something weird out there, huh? And Frank just kind of nodded. And he went back to his truck and he downed a bottle of water that he had kept in his cooler in the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank said, to this day, he has no idea what it was, where it was going, where it came from, or how it got in the condition that it was in. He hopes that this was an extremely rare phenomenon, but, you know, he had experienced a type of disease that affects deer and elk, and sometimes moose, but that's called CWD, or chronic wasting disease. He said it's very nasty, and Frank's had to actually put down a couple of deer who had it, but whatever this creature had, that definitely wasn't chronic wasting disease. He said its flesh and soft tissue was very dead, almost like a zombie Bigfoot.
Oh.
So what I was going to say beforehand is that sounds more like a description of a Wendigo. Because when you hear them, it's like rotting flesh and all that stuff. You know, they're constantly starving. Now they got the head more of like a deer with antlers and all that stuff. But as far as like the rotting flesh and the intestines hanging out, that sounds more like a Wendigo.
Wow. Yeah, I've been, excuse me, sir. Do you know your innards are hanging out?
Talk about having a belly button that's an Audi.
All
right, Tracy.
I almost feel sorry for the thing.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
It didn't seem like it was trying to hurt anybody.
No.
And we still don't know if that's even... I mean, not even by the story can you tell, was that what the guy shot? Or did he shoot a deer still?
That's true.
That could have been completely unrelated. He just happened to be back there to see it. This thing must have been blind. Wouldn't you think if he's got a missing eye and the other one's white?
I would think, yeah. Well, I'm sure he knows the forest very well, so.
All right, Tracy, I saved the best for last. I think it's the best. How about a werewolf story?
How about it?
This story is actually pretty well known, so people that know a lot about cryptids, way more than us, if they're avid cryptid fans, they probably know this story. It happened in Lawton, Lawton, Oklahoma, in the winter of 1971. Police received several phone calls from terrified residents. All saw the same type of bipedal humanoid stalking their town. Now, the first call came from a man by the name of Donald Child. And on this evening, Donald was just kind of looking out his living room window, and he saw a creature trying to drink out of his pond. The pond was empty, so the creature ended up wandering off. Mm-hmm. But he was there trying to get a drink out of his pond. Donald called emergency services. There were no 911 back then. He described it as a monstrous creature, and he actually went into cardiac arrest. He was so terrified.
Oh, my.
Now, keep in mind, this was a man in his 30s.
Wow.
So, not somebody, you know, mm-hmm. with an 80-year-old man
right.
getting scared. This was a guy in his 30s that was petrified. So, yeah, it was something else. But anyways, he did survive, but he was kept in the hospital for several days. So, good news for Donald. The media had a field day with this story. By all descriptions, this sounded like a werewolf. Now, I know that sounds crazy on the surface, but Donald was interviewed by an officer in the hospital. The officer's name was Clancy Williams. Donald described the creature as tall with lots of hair. It had hair all over its face. And here's the kicker. Donald said it was wearing pants. Pants that were far too small for it. Now, before you say, maybe he wasn't thinking clearly, remember there were several calls to the police that evening.
Yeah, they saw the same thing.
Several eyewitnesses came forward to say that they saw the same creature jumping into the street and trying to dodge cars and trucks. It would switch between four legs and two legs.
Hmm.
About 30 minutes after Donald's encounter, a police officer named Harry Azell had to calm down a very hysterical witness. Officer Azell said that the eyewitness had opened a curtain at roughly 11:15 p.m. She speculated that someone must have been pranking her because there was a huge wolf-like creature perched on the railing in front of her house. Now, she described it as more of a monkey or ape type, thinking it was a prop or a joke. But then it turned its head, it looked directly at her, mm-hmm. and then jumped down to the ground that was about 17 feet below.
Wow. And there's a big difference between a monkey and a gorilla.
You mean a monkey and a wolf?
No. Well, you said it could. She thought it was a monkey or a gorilla or something, didn't she?
Well, a monkey and an ape have the same type
or
of
ape,
face.
Or ape, but that's what yeah, I'm trying to say.
They've got the same type of face.
Well, that's true.
But that's different than a wolf face.
So, that's very true.
She described his face as being horribly distorted. She said it was misfigured as if it had been in a fire.
Oh.
Anyway, it was covered in hair all over. Its face, upper and lower body, all covered with hair. Here is the real kicker to this story. The military actually got involved.
Wow.
A group of soldiers from Fort Steele had an encounter with the same creature about 15 minutes after the last eyewitness. These were trained soldiers, and even they were terrified. These sights occurred on Friday and Saturday nights in Lawton, and on the following Monday, the police took action. Mayor Clarence Hill sent out a widespread alert ordering all of his men to be on watch for the Wolfman. That's how he listed
the
it.
The Wolfman.
Sadly, that's the end of the story, and whatever it was just went away and was never caught, obviously.
Well, good. Adios. Out of here.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so what do you think about that?
I mean, that's very terrifying to think that something's roaming around your town, and I would have probably pooped my pants if he looked at me straight in the face.
And it was wearing pants.
I know. Well, he hadn't shaped his legs in a while. He didn't want nobody to see.
So that was crazy.
Yeah, very crazy.
So, well, Tracy, mm-hmm. I guess we don't really have a bunch of stuff to cover tonight. So I'll let you just, instead of us taking a break right now, I'll let you just read what we got.
All right. For our iTunes, we have our reviews, Mom101609. Noom is the game changer. I wonder what that is.
I think it's the diet, the Noom diet.
Oh, and Mojo Lobster. Thank you guys for your reviews. We appreciate y'all so much.
No Patreons this week.
Yeah.
So no sense in really talking about much else because CryptidCon is happening as we speak. So if you're here, this, you already missed it.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
And the only other thing we got is the cruise. HillbillyHorrorStories.com. Sign up for our cruise.
Yeah.
Go from Galveston to Mexico with us in September.
Know it.
All right, guys, that wraps it up for us this week. I hope you enjoyed that, and we'll talk to you soon.
Have a blessed week. We love you.